Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco. On this edition of the show, I'm speaking with French knife maker and designer Jonathan Renaudin. You know him as K. Maxram. Like so many other makers, I was initially exposed to K. Maxram on Instagram. His unique tactical knives caught my eye from first sighting with their aggressive shapes, oftentimes tantos, and with their artful stylings and materials, and then the signature thumb well on the spine of the blade that was immediately compelling to me, and you can see it across his whole body of work. Jonathan has 22 custom models of fixed blades, 11 folders, and a slew of production collaborations like this Concept Pelican, and they're all different but all recognizably K. Maxram. Now, I don't know much about this very prolific designer, but that's why we're here, right? Before we get to Jonathan and K. Maxram, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit the notification bell so you know every time we upload a new video. And then also be sure to check us out on your favorite podcast app, because oftentimes you'll start a video, you know, maybe you're only in that room for 10 minutes and then you turn it off and you continue your day. But if you download this on your podcast app, you can listen to it on the way to work while you're mowing the lawn, doing dishes, folding laundry. And if you think what we do here is valuable and you want to help support the show, do it on Patreon. Go check us out. You get a lot of extras, including interview extras, which you'll hear from this show also. And well, you can enjoy a whole bunch of other exclusive opportunities. Quickest way to get there is thenifejunkie.com/Patreon. Again, that's thenifejunkie.com/Patreon.
Have a knife you want featured or reviewed? Call the Knife Junkies 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487 and let us know.
Jonathan, welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hey, it's really good to see you, and it's really good to meet you after, before we started rolling here, I was telling you, I've been following your work for about 6 years, I think. I was trying to calculate. I've been following your work for a long time, and it's always been very compelling to me. Your designs speak to me. A lot of my tactical side really is drawn to your work, the tantos. I mentioned this thumb swell here, which also seems good for trapping and such. How did you get into knives? Let's start there. Let's start from the rock bottom.
Hello, everyone. Again, I've started to be passionate because I was military, and I didn't find the good blade to make my job. And then when I stopped, I decided to start making knives by passion and with friends. So I start to make some design and work along the days and days simply.
So you were in the military and you were using knives, but you weren't happy with the knives you had or that you were given. What were you given in the French military and what did you do in the military?
They give traditional blades with a spoon and forks. So it's not really usable when you are in wild side, tire-bouchon, you know, to open bottle of wines, you got it on the blade.
Right.
It's not absolutely necessary now, right, in modern army. So I decided to make all the sorts of blades, more tactical and aggressive blades, mostly.
I was just mentioning the tanto is a prominent blade in your designs. Obviously a tactical style blade, but also a very utilitarian blade. So when you were in the military and you were given this knife that had a fork and a spoon on it, what were the kind of things you were doing that you were wishing you had a good knife for?
To cut a few things in nature and all, it's not designed for a typical use like piercing, protection, or for combat. So we need more Dangerous Blade, mostly. Mm-hmm. It's just like a multi-tool, you see?
Yeah.
It's not designed to be used. It's a very small conception, and you can break it in two times. So to use it every day, it's not good.
Yeah, it's good for a long train trip. You know, you're cutting up bread and you're cutting up cheese and meat, and then you can use the corkscrew and
you can eat one.
Yeah, and then you get there and you throw the knife away.
Yes, it just broke. they change it now.
Yeah,
it's better blade.
Oh, okay. You know, it's funny because the American military does something where they do a lot of contracting. They'll have a design and they'll contract different makers and you know, whoever brings in the best. And then I look over at Italy and their military uses Fox knives a lot of the time. And to me, that's like, that's premium.
Yes. It's why I have called them to make collaboration with Fox knives. And we designed that one. Whoop. Yeah. That one got carbon fiber and black coated blade, black spacer, black screws and clips.
Contoured handle is beautiful. So what is this? Is this the Pelican?
Yes, that's the Pelican. The first collaboration I made on the folder. You can have different.
Oh, that's a beauty. Okay, so let's talk about this. Pelican is a model that it's a name you use on a lot of your knives. This is also a Pelican.
Yes.
And I feel like you have, like, the Pelican is a signature shape, and a lot of it has to do with this right here.
That's my signature, exactly.
Tell me about that design feature and why that appears in all your work.
It's born by utility, simply. When it's open, your thumbstick goes exactly at the good place the first time. Mm-hmm. Just by ergonomics, in normal position, but the same. The finger goes exactly where they have to go. And in the front, the same. It gives a better preension, simply. To make a strong cut by pushing when you put your hands here, or in reverse, when you have to cut that way. Just made and designed by utility. When you have to use it, you know how your hand have to go to be the more efficient in fighting and in life.
Yeah, I feel it especially on this blade. Obviously, this is the only knife I have of your design right now, but I feel it right there. It adds so much power to this little knife. This is a 3-inch blade, and it's a very well produced and very well designed blade. But having this space here, you're welcome. Having that space there really just allows you to put so much power, so much more power behind your cut. It also looks good. How much does looks play into how you design a knife?
First, I use a simple question. What will I have to do with that knife? This one you got is made like an EDC. With a good thickness on the blade, 4 millimeters, 4 millimeters on the titanium sides, and it's built a bit like a tank. Sorry for the reference, but the placement of the lock and the side block, you can see there, is made like a vertical line, so it gives a lot of strongness in the blade, and you can use it with a lot of power and hardly. It will not move, just blocked by the more you push, the more it's blocked.
Yeah.
Simply.
Yeah. And that carries through from design to design. I mean, even your large fixed blades have that feature.
Yeah. I got one.
I see that. Oh, yeah.
Bigger one.
Yeah. What is this model?
This one is the Pretatu fixed.
And look at that handle. That looks like exotic wood handle. Tell me about the materials in this.
That's hand burl. Elm. Oh, okay. Burn.
Right.
That totally disappears in the 19th in France and Europe.
Yep.
So it's an old stock I have with friends, and I use that sort of wood and I am a high level materials. That blade, it's a Damasteel blade, Vinland.
Oh, beautiful. I got to tell you, Jonathan, the elm burl means a lot to me because I grew up in a house in Ohio that had a huge elm tree that covered the entire house. And then when I was about 25 or 30, something like that, my mom and dad had to cut it down because it got sick.
Oh.
It got the Dutch elm disease. But you don't see too many elms here either. So to see elm burl on that handle, that's
very rare.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The look is amazing.
It is amazing. So you make these custom fixed blade knives. I mean, look at that Tanto. That is aggressive and beautiful at the same time. That's my taste personally. I like things that are both beautiful like this, but also aggressive and, martial, combative, or whatever you want to call it.
That's it. That's the spirit of my blade.
Yes.
Mostly. And durability, always.
So who is your customer? Who buys these custom knives? Oh, look at that.
That's the next one. That's the prototype of the folders, Prêt-à-tout, with Santa Blade.
Okay, so if you're not watching right now, if you're only listening, Jonathan is holding up a beautiful fixed blade knife called a Prêt-à-tout, and it's a Tanto combat knife, fixed blade. But he also held up a folding version of this. Now, who's going to be making that folding version?
That's Concept. Concept, okay. Knives.
I have two Concept knives. I have one designed by you, and I have one designed by Dirk Pinkerton. And I have to say, Concept is doing an amazing job. I really, yes. I'm very impressed with their knives.
There is nothing to say about it. They're just well made and perfect executed. Just joy and happiness.
Joy and happiness, indeed. And I feel like they're taking chances too. Everything is with a designer, and they're doing interesting, different things. Every knife is something different.
Yes, but they want to be present everywhere on every side of the blade, for kitchen, for classic use, EDC use, hard use, in folder, fix it. They want to be everywhere, they are good. So, well, let's go.
Yeah, they should be everywhere then, if they're that good, you know?
They are.
So, where are you talking to us from?
From Instagram, directly. Knowing some of them.
You're in France, right?
Yes, I'm French.
Are you in the Pyrenees Mountains?
Yeah.
Okay.
And southwest.
Okay, southwest. So
near Pays Basque.
Oh, all right. So you're near Basque territory in...
Yes, 50 kilometers. Just straight.
So what's it like there?
Oh, it's just beautiful. That's ocean, mountains, wildlife. Perfect for a knife maker.
Because your pictures on Instagram oftentimes feature backgrounds that are beautiful. I'm like, God, where is this guy? This is gorgeous.
That's wood and wildlife. I got trees... nice place. So I use the place first, and I try to make my best to take good photos and give some people want to buy them or just look. That's a part of work.
I see this and I think about what you're doing, living in this beautiful spot in the mountains, making knives. And it's very artful. And to me, you know, as a I was an art student and art history student, and I think, wow, he's really following in the French tradition of aesthetics and living an artful life, you know, even though you're creating these beautiful tools that can be both military and tactical, but also useful EDC, you're like, a painter living in the mountains, soaking up the natural and making knives. That's my romantic notion.
I see. I will fall in love.
So living up there and taking your military background and also living in the mountains, tell me about how you go about designing a knife and how your inspiration kind of feeds your designs.
As you can see, all my blades named pelicans. So it's from nature first, the pelicans. Yeah. That's sure. You can recognize the birds with the front parts, the eyes, and the I don't know how we call it.
The feathers, the wings and the feathers. Yeah.
Wings, exactly. That's it. And after, that's utility. I try to make some knife you can use first. On wood, on EDC, on military place. It's really... The inspiration is the handle too. When you've got it in hand, you can feel it straight. It's made for your hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's nature, utility, and hands. That's the most part of my hands inspiration.
You're talking about the hands. We're talking about ergonomics here and how it actually fits in the hand. And this is one thing about this little knife that I love. Okay, so I bought this knife because I love the way it looks, and I'd been following you a long time. And this one just hit it for me. And as I mentioned to you before, it was a real struggle to decide between the Tanto and the Warncliffe.
It's hard for me too when I have to choose in the morning which one I have to go for. It can be that one or that one. You see,
I want to talk about different blade shapes, but before we get there, I want to let you know that the ergonomics on this knife is one of the reasons why I kept it. I ordinarily like bigger knives, but I like this design so much I bought it. Usually I buy smaller knives and I sell them after a while, but I've kept this one because it fits in the hand so well. It really, it feels great in hand, in both grips. And I don't really use it like this often, but I like the way it feels. So the ergonomics are, I totally feel your concentration on that. But let's talk about the blade shapes. You have this and the Warncliffe in the concept Pelican. What are their different uses for you?
The Tanto is more for tactical and combat, to be honest. Because the perforation is more deep when you use a Tanto than a Warncliffe one. The position point change all the performance of the blade, mm-hmm. mostly. Some people prefer this one for EDC and this one for classical use, and sometimes the reverse. You get to have one or the two to see really the difference. When you want to cut, this one got a great shape and a great balance to cut. This one is typically two position, straight mm-hmm. cut or, sorry.
Yeah.
Sort you of can like change a... the positions. Right. You have two position cut there. You have only one, but a longer one.
Got you. Yeah. And they actually, now that you're, so holding the Tanto, you can use that front edge in sort of a pull cut.
Yes.
And then you can use this in a sort
just
of push.
Bless your hand normally mm-hmm. and use it like a kitchen knife with your index on. Oh, yeah. That's the same. With two finger, you can keep your blade in position, but you can also put your hand in the front and use only the small point.
Oh, yeah.
And you can cut and do small work with that sauce. And you can do the same with the Warncliffe one. There. And you can use it safely in your hand.
Okay, so if you're only listening, Jonathan is choking all the way up on the blade so that only the tip is being used. And with the swale on the back of the spine and the thumb ramp, it makes it very comfortable to actually hold in that position. And, you know, you're doing delicate work here, so you're not going to be cutting yourself with the edge there. You were mentioning the tip positioning. The tip position on the Pelican Tanto is obviously kind of in line with the spine. And then the tip,
yes,
the tip with the Warncliffe is more aligned with the center line.
Exactly.
What is the benefit of that center line tip like you have there on the Warncliffe?
It gives more strongness of the cutting side. When you cut, the position blade give you, it's really hard to translate by the French. How do you say it? Sorry.
No. I think maybe the Warncliffe on top is better for this kind of pull cut.
Yes.
Or like when you have something on a surface, like a piece of paper, and you're cutting or something. It seems like that Warncliffe with the tip down there might be better for that.
Yes, too. And both sides, you can, the perforation of the blade and the part used on the cutting perforation is bigger with a Warncliffe than a Tanto, because you start to cut there and after there. Yeah, that is the first. So it's very aggressive. You see?
Yeah.
When you start to cut with the Tanto, you use that part. And there, you straightly on the point.
Right on that tip. So you get more precision that way too. You get more ability to get in close and tight with that. We mentioned before, you're in the Pyrenees, you're in France. France has a rich history of knives and knife making. And right now it's got a lot of great knife makers. I'm thinking of yourself and Fred Perrin and David Lespec and lots of other guys that make very beautiful work. What is it like in France for knives and knife makers?
Historically, it's a long, long story in France with knives, swords, and cutting tools, mostly. The France got the chance to have a piece of mountain in Alps named Thiers. I'm sure you know it.
Mm-hmm.
They designed the La Guiole and the Opinel.
Okay.
It got a regional place with tons and tons of knife makers, traditional makers, regional makers, because every part in France, every state, that the same in France, every state got their own knife. So it's a long, long story of knives in France. If you go in Britain, you will get that sort of knives. If you go in Alps, another sort. If you go in Corse, another sort. And on the south, another sort. Everywhere there is a knife, a typical knife of the near the town. We got plenty of knife makers, talented knife makers, custom knife makers, traditional knife makers, modern knife makers. That's knife life.
Yeah,
every day.
Yeah, and you know, I'm one of the things I think of when I think of French culture is food and the culinary arts. In France, and there's a whole rich. I have a sabatier knife. It's such a great. It's an old sabatier. It was my grandmother's, and it's all patinaed, and it's carbon steel. It's beautiful, and it gets so sharp even still.
Yes,
but I love the idea of each region and each state having its own signature kind of knife. Like I think of the in Italy, I think of the patata in the island of Sardinia has the patata, and it's a very recently made popular by Spyderco in their version of the patata.
True.
So where you are, what is the signature knife of the area you're in?
It looks like the Basque knives, and with an option you can change the blade to have a mushroom knife.
So that's like a sickle, kind of like a
yeah, it's that shape mm-hmm. and it's cutting on that side to go around the mushroom to cut the feet of the mushroom.
And then it's got a little brush on the back.
Yeah.
And you brush off the
exactly.
Okay, so that's the signature knife of your area. That means there's a lot of great mushrooms growing around there, right?
They sip.
Okay. So that's a big foraging, mushroom foraging is a big thing there.
There is a lot of sort of mushroom too in France. About culinary tradition too. We use them on food. So when you want to eat, you always have a knife. Right. It's in the culture.
Yeah. I love the Opinels. They're a big favorite of mine. I give them as gifts, and people don't realize they need a knife. And then they have an Opinel, and it's orange and it's happy and it's sharp and it works great and it's light. You throw it in your bag and you've got a knife, and suddenly people can't live without it. My mother carries her Opinel everywhere. She even travels with it internationally and kind of gets away with it because she's a sweet old lady. Sorry, Ma, you're not old.
Sure. My grandfather were that sort of man too. Always have a knife on you, a piece of paracord.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a fire. A light.
Yeah. I mean, think of it. If you have a knife, a piece of string, and a lighter, and you lose yourself in the woods, if you know what you're doing, you can get out.
You can leave.
Yeah. So what is your lifestyle like up there? I know you have a lot of knives with production companies, but you also do custom knives and you live in this beautiful place. Tell us a little bit what it's like, being you and as a custom knife maker in this beautiful spot. Are you always working in your shop? How does your day go?
Yeah. First, when I wake up, I try to make a good photos of knives and coffee. And that's my first thing when I get up. Then I open my shop. I post the pics. And I start by making knives or design or making cutting steel. Adjust the handle, polish the handle, prepare for head treat, and then all the steps you have to do to build a knife. And I try with cigarettes to answer to question. I go back to knife, answer question, gotcha. Go back to knife. Sometimes that with manufacturers to talk with. On a typical design, modifications, reflection around a model, and prepare collaborations. Sometimes that's for I get up and go to show or demonstration, test or torture test. all depends.
Okay, so you're living the dream, basically. Yeah. You wake up every day and it's knives all day.
I got to see two dogs, so it takes time. Children, a wife.
They take care of themselves. No, I'm just kidding.
Sure, I'm in house, so I can.
I mean, that's to me that sounds like it sounds amazing because you get to use your hands, you get to make your own work, your custom orders. You also get to deal with the outside world. You're not just stuck inside your studio making your knives. You're also dealing with factories and different orders and I don't know. To me, that sounds like a great blend because you get to keep your hands in it, but you also get to keep your mind in it in a business sense.
Absolutely. You have to stay open to the world, and modern knife making life needs you to be connected. To be accessed and to make collaboration with others, with other knife makers, with knife shops, like the shop who sold knives. I've made a collaboration a few weeks ago with a coutellerie.
Oh, okay.
And try to be accessible for the most of people possible.
So does this mean, I'm sorry to interrupt you, does this mean you're doing an exclusive?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, cool.
We and make what's the place called? Pits.
Le Coute. Let's say it again.
Sorry?
I'm sorry. What online knife store?
Coutellerie Tourangelle.
Okay.
We built that collaboration. That Ooh. One. Mm-hmm. Only 300 piece. Leather this. On a design.
Oh, man.
Just with them and for them.
Okay. So if you can't see this, Jonathan is holding up a Pelican Tanto looking blade with a beautiful wooden handle. And this is an exclusive for, I'm sorry, I won't even try. Can you say it again?
Coutellerie Tourangelle. Okay. It's a knife shop. You can buy firearms, knives, tools, and different kind of things around the arms.
That is a cool, I don't know, man. I'm going to check that out because that's a beautiful knife. And it seems like to have an exclusive.
Like Blade HQ, like Knife Centers.
Exactly. So, we talked about a lot of French knife makers. Obviously, it's a receptive culture. But what's it like legally, knives in France? What's that like?
In France, it's very complicated. You can't have a knife on you. You can't use a knife in the public place. You can use them in your house, in your garden, but not on public place. It's totally forbidden. Whatever the side of the blade, the type of the blade, fixed or folders, every blade are forbidden to have on you, on your pocket, on your bag. It's totally forbidden.
Completely everything, even a little Swiss Army knife.
The same things.
On your keychain.
It always depends about the policeman.
Okay.
You see, the laws say no, but the policeman can appreciate the situation. If he see you with a knife by cutting a piece of bread for eating at the lunch, he will never say you anything. He know that to it. If you see that you are aggressive, violence, and you got a knife, you take the knife and you go to jail.
Right.
That's simple. He appreciate the situation and try to make a decision and a correct one.
Yeah, using personal discernment. I think that's, I think a lot of the police officers here are like that too. I would imagine. I don't know. Of course, I'm an older guy too, but it seems like, you know, if you have a knife on you and I'm not even going to talk to that, but I know a number of police officers through work and they all seem kind of cool. So if you're respectful, they will probably be respectful.
Absolutely.
But all that being said, just be careful what you carry and know your laws. I know a lot of places don't allow locking knives. Is that an issue where you are? I guess, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, it's a problem for the knives because they got a blade block system. So it can use as a fixed blade. And for the most of people, fixed blade have made for murder or for combat or dangerous things. It's not true in reality. The blade is not dangerous. The guy can be. The guy who used the blade is like firearms. The blade, if you take it only the knife, it will kill nobody. The guy can make bad things, but not the blade.
Right.
So it's difficult to talk about that sort of things because politicians have got the ideas about it. Peaceman don't want anything. You got to compose with every opinion. The best you can do is to use it respectfully, normally, and never to make bad things. If you know how to combat with a knife, mostly of times, you will die by your knife.
Right.
So don't use it for fighting or to aggress people.
Yeah. The guy who wins a knife fight is the one who dies second.
Yes. Dies last. Most of the time.
It's funny because when I was in high school in the 80s, my parents went to France and I asked them to bring back a switchblade. They brought me a switchblade from France and, you could buy them everywhere at the time. I don't know if things have changed.
No, nothing changed in that place. You can buy the knife you want, but you can't go everywhere with it. You have to keep it in your house. You can buy everything, swords, whatever the knife you want, but you have to keep them in your house.
Just leave it at home.
That's low.
So a funny thing, you were talking about politicians ruining it for everyone. I live in the state of Virginia in the United States. And in Virginia, we have a governor. It's like the president of the state, who got in trouble because he did some racist stuff when he was a kid. But, right after he got busted for this, a company wanted to start a knife company in a very poor part of Virginia. And he was so worried about starting a knife company in Virginia that he said no. He wouldn't let them start because he was so worried about his own reputation. He didn't want to be seen as someone who was inspiring or encouraging weapon sales. And so because he made a mistake when he was in high school that he got busted for, now a whole sector of the industry and a whole part of our state had to suffer. So knives and politicians just don't seem to mix.
It's nearly the same there too, because all the politicians are more preoccupied by what the people think and look when they look them. So sometimes they change their mind. They say the things they can help them mostly. Yeah. They not every time make the great decision for the people or the industry. They just try to do the best for them. First, the pay, the advantage they got, and not for the rest of the people. That's sad.
I cannot disagree with you, sir. I cannot disagree. So let's talk about the difference between. So before I painted this idyllic picture of you. Making custom knives in this beautiful space up there in the mountains. And I love that picture. But there's another picture. You do a lot of these collaborations. What is it like working with Fox Knives, with Kaiser, with Concept? What is the process like?
The first, I try to make knives with utility. When I've built the Pelican for Fox, the idea was to make a stronger knife as possible for bushcraft use and to have a folder as strong as a fixed blade. When I collaborate with Kaiser, it was to make a gentleman folder. So we made the Pelican Titanium, that one. Very lightweight, good slicer. Thin blade. Then, when I contact a Concept, we decide to make an EDC knife. And then a tactical knife. That the proto I show you just after. That the Pretatoo, spear point, or tonto point.
Oh God, that's so cool. I love that.
So, when I decide to make a collaboration, it's to make a type of knife. And I don't want to stay always on the same brand. I want to be not only one activity for one brand. You see, I have to have more activity on other brands. That way I can keep the shape of the blade on each brand and design other knives for their brand too.
Yeah. It's like you're marking them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great idea. Plus, you get to leverage the strength of each of these OEMs. I mean, I think it's like I said, this EDC from Concept is awesome, and it, like you said, it's built like a tank. So I can see them scaling up your designs into something larger, something more tactical. But when you designed for Fox, you were looking at bushcraft at the time, and Kaiser, a gentleman's folder. But that doesn't mean you're not going to come back to Kaiser for tactical or something else.
Yes, I can design other type of knives for Kaiser, like a slip joint for gentleman use too. But it can be renforcé. I don't know if you say them in...
Say that again?
Renforcé. Flat crown. It's a system of block.
Okay.
Like a slip joint. The same systems.
Okay.
You have to force on the blade to...
Yeah. Tap. Right, right. Yeah. Oh, like a ratchet.
Yes, too. Okay. It can be.
Okay.
It can be fixed blade with a Fox, by example.
Right.
It can be EDC blade, or I can choose every brand and propose every system or every type of shape you want. I've just tried to have more activity and more brand in my catalog than one.
Yeah. Who else would you like to work with?
Oh, thousands of people. Cold Steel. I would love to work with a US-made brand, because it's an historic one. I've got a lot of Cold Steel too. I would love to work with Chris Reeve.
Oh yeah.
By example, because I love the shape and the spirit of the brand. I would love to work with Todd Begg, who is a friend of mine, or with Marfion. I got plenty of ideas.
So what do you have a collection yourself? Do you collect knives?
I were, but when I start making my knives, I've sell a lot to make money. Sadly, I've lost a very, very beautiful piece, but it helped me to build mine. So now I still have some blades, yes, but not a lot.
Well, what is your taste? What do you like to collect? What kind of knife makers do you enjoy?
Oh, I enjoy a lot Todd Begg. I've got some directly by his hand on show, because we exposed together years ago. Bob Terziola, it's for me, it's a legend. So I know him. I have offered him a blade. I've got blade from him. Never customs, because I'm just too poor. But it's a dream. Sure. I love Chris Reeve, I said. I love Cold Steel, Zero Tolerance. You got a very good industry and custom knife makers. I love American brands mostly, yeah, and some Japanese ones. I was a collector, so all the biggest brands were just fantastic.
So you mentioned Cold Steel a couple of times. I am it's no secret, I'm a big Cold Steel fan, and they were around when I was a kid. And that's why it's always stuck with me. But one thing that I really love about Cold Steel is that they combine super strength with historical designs. They'll take stuff like the stuff I have on the wall. As a matter of fact, the saber over my shoulder, they did a version of this, the 1917 Naval Cutlass. They'll take historical pieces and update them and make them super strong for modern times, and I think that is great. And they did that with my favorite folding knife of all time, the Spanish Navaja. To me, that's the most beautiful knife out there, and they did that with the Espada. So I could see you working with them because of your, I don't know, you seem to have you seem to be in touch with a bit of the historical knife design.
Yes, I would love. Honestly, I would love to work with them. I've got, as you, a lot of cold steel blade, like the Taipan, like the Espada, like the Recon one. And I love the mind. It's simply, it's strong, and it's usable. Mm-hmm. And that the first I got when I was in army, before I start to making my own knives and design. That brand is just built simply, and it works. It always works. Always.
It's funny because people would sometimes, the cold steel, the cut, like some of the videos people didn't like. Mm-hmm. Because they were testing and on pigs and stuff like that. But
it's another, a part of the job to test the blade.
Exactly. But another criticism they got was their steel. Oh, they only use AUS 8 steel. Mm. And it's not great steel, but still, it worked on those knives very, very well. How do you feel about different steels, super steels, and that? How important are materials in your design?
It's very important. I've tried to test and to see the best steel possible to have an accessible price at the end and the best performance when you use them. I've chose the N690 CO because it's stronger. It's a strong steel, and if you got a good heat treat, you can push them that 61 HRC. Hmm. So it look like a good place for performance, resistance, to keep your blade sharp. It's still stainless. So it's very good for everyday use. There is better steel. There is higher steel. There is less steel. But this one looks like the middle of the steel you can have or choose. It's not cheap. It's not very high in price. So you can give a good compromise at the end with your knives. I should use better steel like Damasteel or 01 or 3V. I got S35VN on the Concept one, on the Kaiser one too. That's great steel, historic steel, American steel too. And for me, that's the best you can choose. Because if you got a cheap steel, you will have problem with. If you go on a higher price steel, it will not be accessible for the most of people. That's the difficult of choosing a steel, mostly.
Well, so as a collaborator with an OEM like Kaiser or Concept, do you get the full choice? Or do they say, no, we're making this in titanium and S35, give us a design?
With my first collaboration, I tried to make compromise with the first brand. And then I decided to impose some things, but to block them and keep them, as I said, because I want a good result. And I'm sure that the choice I made was for the best. And manufacturer can have another vision of the custom parts, and just try to make rentability, to make the most profit they can. And always not the good choice to make a lot of profits, because it deserves on the what the people think about. Mm. The result for me is more important than the money you will make with.
You, because your name is going on it, you want to make sure that it's a good design and that it stands the test of time and that it's not just another knife design that comes and goes.
That there is your name, as you said. You don't want to make bullshit. You don't want to make problems to customer. If a knife breaks on the hand of a guy, you will think about it. It will be a problem. You want the best quality possible for the price you give. You want it to be honest. You want it to be good and normal, simply. Yeah. First, I'm a user. So when I take a knife, I want to be sure to make the task I want with the knife. And I want to be in danger or in trouble because the steel is not so good, or because the adjustment is too flat, is too large, because it's a tool first. And your hands, your fingers are on. You can injure it yourself by using the knife. For me, that's not possible. You have to be sure.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You say it's a tool first. And of course, you cannot disagree with that. But in the last 10 years or more, knives have become like jewelry. Knives have become collectors' items more than they ever were before. And there are more people buying knives now. And they fit their lifestyle and that kind of thing. What have you observed the knife? How have you observed the knife world kind of growing in the last 10 years or since you've become a part of the knife world?
I'm sure that the knife place will be split in two parts. The custom knives, that is mostly for collectors and the people who want to have a knife style. I don't know if I'm very easy to understand. And the industrial part, who is made for people who want accessible price knives and usable. I'm sure the market will split in these two parts. Mm-hmm. I have my shop and my mind is split too. I made some custom knives for the people who want a knife with their own taste, for their own use. And sometimes it's for collecting. And when it happened, I said to the guy, I'm not here for that. If you want to have a display knife, it's perfect. There is a lot of knife makers who love to make them with MoQT, with very, very high material. And it's good for them. Take one with Timascus, but don't go on wood to use them. And so I made that kind of custom knife for that kind of people. And for the other people, I've made tactical blades, strong blade, bushcraft blades, that there is no fear to use them and to make them live. That's what I think about the future on knife community.
Well, we'll definitely see. I almost feel like that's already starting to happen, but that's an interesting take. So, where can viewers and listeners find your work, catch up with you, and find out what you have coming up in the future?
Oh, large question. I will continue for sure because I'm passionate about it. But I will continue to make the both side of the work. Try to work with big brands and make collaboration, and continue to make custom because the market is double.
Yeah,
I have to keep that way too. I love them too.
And I would imagine as a knife maker, it feels good to do both.
I think it is for me, but every maker will have another opinion. And I'm sure it depends about the place where you live. Because when you live in London, to make knives is more complicated than in my place or other place. Some countries are very bad for knives, simply, and they blocked a lot of people who make knives.
Yeah. There's some creative workarounds. I know there's a company in England called Who's Blades, and they're making those double detent slip joints that are very much like very much like this, but no lock, you know, so they're making their way around it a little bit, but still it's pretty restrictive.
It's due by their law, simply. It's you can use them if it's not under 3 inch, if my memory is good, and you can have a block system on your blade.
Right, right.
In England, on other country there is other restriction. In Canadians, when you want to chip a knife there, you have to make a part. Take the blade out to make a package separately in the same box, but different piece. Mm-hmm. The clip one side, the blade one side. Every country got its own laws. And when you are a maker and you send knives every worldwide, you have to know every laws. Australia is different. Thailand is different. Russia is different. Japan is different. It's a part of the job who is unknown, but you have to know it.
Yeah. You got to be a worldwide legal expert.
Nearly.
To send these out. Well, Jonathan, thanks for joining us. Instagram, you can be found on Instagram, right? That's where people can, I know that's where I discovered you, but, people, you got to go to K Max Rom on Instagram because I think your photographs are awesome.
Thank you so much. I try to make the best I can on that side. It's a part of the work too. If you want the people who love your love and appreciate your blade, you have to make them in situation. Take good photos, great background. Try to work with the brightness when you take the photos. It's a very important part today. Because social media is the only place you can show your art, your knives, without restriction. Because mostly on books, on magazine, if it is not a specific magazine, it's always take like it's a murder, what he made, that's weapons, it's not good for people, kids can see them. Instagram give that vision. It's made for photographers. So there is a lot of people who love photographers and, they are passionate by knives too. So it helps, but it's a good place to show, and very good people take a, conversation with, to talk with other makers, see what they do too. Because, as you said before, you don't have to stay on your work. You have to be open to the world. There is tons and tons of good makers everywhere in the world. And it's good for you when you are makers to see how other people goes on the same way than you.
Absolutely.
It's good to grow up too.
Yeah, build a little community.
Yeah.
Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on the Knife Junkie podcast. It's been a pleasure meeting you, sir.
It was a real pleasure for me too. Thank you for everyone to watching them.
All right. Take care, sir.
See you.
Are you looking for a book about knives or knife collecting, knives and self-defense, or the yearly Knife Bible filled with hundreds of pages of information and pictures about your favorite knives? Shop at theknifejunkie.com/books for your traditional favorites, new books about knives, and the yearly Knife Bible. Get your favorite knife book and support the show at theknifejunkie.com/books.
There he goes, Jonathan Renaudin. You know him as K Max Rom. I've always loved his designs, and ever since getting this concept in hand, I've been even more enthusiastic. I'm looking forward to, quite honestly, the newest concept coming out. That one in Tanto, the drop point looks nice too, but that one in Tanto looks right up my alley. Can't wait to check that out. Also, be sure to check us out here next week for another interview with another great knife personality or knife world denizen. Also, Wednesdays is our midweek supplemental where I talk about various knife world subjects, and then Thursday Night Knives, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here, our live feed every week except when it falls on Thanksgiving. And then also be sure to download us on your favorite podcatcher, Apple, Google, iHeart, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. and many, many others. Until next time, I'm Bob DeMarco saying, for Jim working his magic behind the switcher, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.